All right, we're here. Podcast number 14, I'm going to say, after a three-week hiatus. We're back. We got me, Sam, here. We got Royal and Cynthia on the line. And we're a day away from the Alamo Bowl. That's all we're going to talk about. We're going to be one-dimensional on this one. So just going to talk about the matchup versus Arizona. So, Royal, if you want to start us off here, I guess let's start off talking about the OSU offense. Still got Dana calling the plays. Zona's got a decent defense, all that stuff. What do you think about us moving the ball on them?
I think it's going to really come down to whether or not we can get the ball out without being pressured by their defensive line. They're actually pretty freaking stout on the line. They have over 30 sacks for the season.
Their defensive end with the black spotted hair.
Yeah. The amazingly talented and fashionable defensive end. I can't remember his name. God, I should remember his name.
It's Laney or
Ricky. Ricky Bobby, that's his name.
Ricky?
Anyway,
it is not.
He has 11 sacks on the season. So, I mean, they've definitely got talent to get to the quarterback. It's just a matter of their secondary. I mean, it's been shaky all year. So if our offensive line can hold them and, keep them honest, I think that we'll be able to move the ball. But at the same time, if they're able to get pressure on Braden Whedon, we may be looking at a similar situation as Bedlam, where the defensive line, for OU pretty much dominate our offensive line throughout the first half. It's not the same kind of line. I don't think they're going to be able to do the same things because Justin Blackman's going to be fully healthy, but I think that, that's going to be the key to it. I think if we can hold them and hold a good front, then we're going to be able to pass the ball downfield and, get a lot of offensive plays out of it.
Right, and this isn't a Bedlam excuse by any means, but, I mean, not having a deep threat really changed the scheme that OU could call. I mean, they could put 5-6 guys up on the line. They were doing it every play and just overmatching our line. I mean, it wasn't like they were just beating guys straight up. And there were a lot of plays. They had more dudes coming at us than we had to block. Then we started having to go more to the full house backfield and bring tight ends in and all that business. And when you don't have someone that can keep them honest over the top, because apparently Tracy Moore decided to take the season off or any other deep threats we were going to have, and was Blackman injured, you didn't have anything to stretch the defense so they could get away with it.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. It's just, and then on the other side, I mean, Nick Foley's going to be a pretty tough. He's a good quarterback. It's just a matter of getting to him as well. Their offensive line isn't very good at all. They give up a lot of sacks, and if you can pressure him into bad situations, then he's going to turn the ball over as well. So it's going to be weird, and like I said in the preview, I think it's really going to come down to strength versus strength, which is their defensive line versus our offensive line, and then weakness versus weakness, which is our defensive line against their offensive line. And whoever, wins those battles, I think will go a long way to winning the game for their team.
And I want to talk about that defensive line thing in a little bit, but Cincy, what's your take? Let's go with you for a moment, though.
I think Royal makes really good points with strength versus strength, and I mean it comes down to, if their defensive line can get the same kind of pressure that that Whedon struggled with, and really it bottom line is just if they can get to Whedon, that creates problems, and I think we'll be much more equipped to deal with those problems having a healthy Justin Blackman. But it'll be interesting just to see, because I mean they are touted as a pretty solid defensive front. They get a lot of pressure, and it's a situation where it'll just be interesting to see. I don't know that they've played the level of talent that we have, and so I don't really know. I mean, I really don't. I don't know if those defensive numbers are real, and so we'll see. I did watch, I had a game recorded when they played Iowa, and they gave Ricky Stanzi hell. I mean, he was pressured, and they really – they had a huge effect on that game. And you know, on the offensive side of the ball, Foles looked really good in that game. You know, that was early in the season. I watched him play the last game of the year against Arizona State, and everything was awful. You know, they just looked terrible. You know, so I think it's all going to depend on who shows up, and I think you'd have to, we'd have to have the advantage at this point, having healthy people and, you know, them losing four games in a row. I'm gonna take OSU. I think we'll be in good shape.
What's the line? I haven't even looked lately.
I think five or six.
Yeah,
that's about what it was last time I looked. But I don't know.
Like
seems a little
half,
low for
six.
A team coming off four wins, but I think you get that bowl game matchup thing where it's, I mean, to be honest, somewhat of a letdown for Oklahoma State to be in this bowl, and teams lose those kind of bowls a lot. It's not uncommon at all. I mean, there's not a lot of motivation. As much as the coach speak will say there is, I mean, recruiting is the main thing. Texas recruiting is the main motivation to look good, you know, and money. But, I mean, outside of that, and just wanting to win, I guess. But, you know, when you're not playing for what you thought you'd be playing for a few weeks ago, I guess that factors in. But
and let's also not forget that the Pac-10 is definitely the best conference in all of America. They are the strongest by far.
Sagarin thinks so. Well, I think he thinks they're second. You know, it's funny. I look at Arizona, and this is why I hate any kind of ranking system whatsoever, by the way. Arizona's strength of schedule is actually 12th in the nation. Ours is, according to Sagarin, ours is 30-something, 34th, I think, 35th. We were somewhere in there before. But when you look through Arizona's schedule, I don't see any reason we wouldn't be 10-2 with that schedule. I mean, you get hung up on strength of schedule rankings and looking at the way these things match up. And really, in the end, about everyone plays the same schedule, at least in the major conferences, as long as you're not in the Big East, I guess. And you end up playing about the same dudes. There's nothing. I can't, like, just looking through here, I can't believe that's the 12th hardest schedule in the nation.
Yeah.
What's the hardest game they played? I mean,
Oregon and Stanford.
Oregon and Stanford. That's what it is right there. It's Oregon and Stanford that are bumping up that schedule like crazy. They're both in the top five in the BCS, so that's that. I mean, And then, of course, USC is going to get clout no matter what just because they're USC. So, I mean, that's a namesake thing right there. And then, you know, the Big 12, Iowa went downhill as the season went on. They kind of fell apart the same way that Arizona did. But I don't know. I don't give much weight to that just because, you know, every game is a different matchup. And, you know what I mean, it's the same way with comparative scoring to me. I don't think you can really, you know, judge how a team was on one particular Saturday and say, they're great, especially, you know, 12 games down the line. Oh, yeah, that was definitely a hard matchup for them. So I don't know. I don't put much weight into that, but even with that said, I mean, you know, OSU played in a Big 12 where the heavy hitters weren't necessarily as heavy hitting this year, although I guess Nebraska kind of took Texas's place, but I don't think Nebraska was as good as Texas has been in these last recent years. So it just depends. I mean, the Big 12 bottom started to catch up with the Big 12 top, and that seems to always be a bad thing for the first couple of years because everyone just takes that as meaning that the top is getting weaker and therefore the conference is getting weaker. So, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But as far as the actual bowl game goes, I don't know. If our secondary is going to be tested if we can't get to the quarterback. There's no doubt about that. Nick Foles is a good quarterback. If you can't get pressure on him, he's going to be able to throw all over the place. So we'll see. I think that we'll be able to stop the running game. It's going to be their passing game. And whether or not we're able to, you know, make stops on third down, which apparently neither team can do. Neither team is good at stopping anybody. They're 80th in the country, and we're, 90th.
90th, I think.
91st.
Yeah.
97th in third down. Yeah, opponent's third down. We're 97th, and they're 80th. So, it's going to be one of those games where, you know, on third down, if it's third and 15, you're feeling worse about it than if it was, you know, first or second and 5, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to mention, and I think I've said this in a couple articles throughout the year too, but the notion that the Oklahoma State defense is like the 90th ranked defense in the nation, I don't really buy. And again, this is getting into another ranking thing, but you know, that's what a lot of this matchup is based on. Well, they're the 90th ranked total defense, so it should be a high scoring game. Arizona should be able to run over them. Odd stat I found today, Oklahoma State's played 12 games, which most of the country's played 13 or 14 by now with bowls and championship games. I shouldn't say most. A lot of teams have. And a lot of teams have played 12. Oklahoma State's defense has been on the field for 981 plays, which is by far the most of any team in the nation. The second most is Hawaii with 960, and they've played two more games than us. So our defense has been on the field for 20 more plays and played two less games than Hawaii. And, I mean, you can strike a lot, you know, you can account a lot of that to that bend don't break scheme, the bad third down defense. I mean, I'll admit there's a lot of that in there. You know, we get a lot of 14 plays drives against this defense, but I mean, so much of it goes on the offense and just the style of play that defense is just out there so much. I mean, they can't really afford to play the style of defense that say a Nebraska plays, because they know they can't go all out like that every series. They just can't. I mean, they would get injured, they'd get tired, they'd get, as you saw, those collapses at the end of Bedlam.
They're already getting tired. They're already getting tired. This is obviously an argument for another podcast because we don't really have enough time, but our offense is really killing our defense.
I agree completely. I mean, that's what I'm getting at.
And the thing is, if we had the depth on defense to be able to, you know, sub out players, or, you know, if we had the experience that we didn't have to necessarily play so far off the line on third downs, then it'd be different, but we don't. And our offense is still, you know, scoring on drives in 2 minutes, 1 minute, or, you know, three and out. And then our defense has to go back out there, and they're already thin, and they're already weak and young and all of that stuff. It just killed us in a couple games in particular, especially Bedlam. So it's just one of those things that, you know, will it change next year? Will we use a little bit more clock? I don't know, but if it were me, I would. I mean, just because the defense isn't good enough yet. Why put your biggest weakness out there for so long? But that's obviously another argument for another time.
Well, and you saw it in the A&M and Nebraska games, too, where the defense just, I mean, they had nothing left at the end.
Right. I really hope, you know, I'm hoping we go kind of outside of the, you know, I hope Gundy takes a look, or Pickens or whoever it is that makes the final call.
Daniel Bryant.
I don't know. You, Sam, I really hope you take a look and get away from the leech kind of methodology. You know, let's go back to what's been working. We're getting better players. We don't need to run the gimmick bullshit of the Holgorsen offense that kills the defense. I mean, we have talent, and I really think that offense is designed for marginal talent. You know, I think it works best in the situation where you've got decent players that can be great. We've got great players. You know, you don't have to trick it up with guys like Walsh and Sims and Randall and you know, I mean, it's just so kind of off on a tangent here, but I'm hoping we kind of go for maybe just a more traditional offensive scheme. You know, maybe someone that just takes the talent and makes it work and doesn't worry about, you know, calling X amount of passing plays and wearing the defense out.
I agree, but I think Dana's a big part of us finishing 10-2. But I mean, he's also was a big part of why we couldn't win a couple of those bigger games that maybe we would have been in another situation. Maybe we would have lost to Kansas State, or I mean, I don't know what the trade off is if we would have still had Gundy calling plays or whatever. But I mean, you definitely saw the effect of it in some of those tight games where we needed to run clock and control the ball and just couldn't do it. So I mean, not that I'd complain about the guy, but It's a frustrating scheme to watch sometimes, I guess, is the thing.
I think
that in this bowl game specifically, I think, you know, you obviously have to run this the same way, but I think hopefully, you know, they'll learn a little bit from the Bedlam game and realize that, you know, if the defense is gassed, and that's the thing, I'm not asking for, like, to slow it down completely all the time. I mean, if you can take advantage of them, and if they're huffing and puffing on defense, then hell yeah, go for it. You know what I mean? Speed it up on them and take advantage of how tired they are. But at the same time, realize that your defense is probably a little bit gassed too, and it's a complete game. The offense has to help the defense has to help the offense. So if Arizona is, you know what I mean, has just gone on a long drive and the defense held them on, you know, 4th and 2 at the 30, and, you know, they need some time off, then, you know, use that play clock. Give your defense, you know, a little bit of a reward. Give them some time to on the side of rest, because like Cynthia was saying, we have the talent. Don't think that we have to go so fast and use gimmicks to score on these guys, because I know that with Kendall Hunter, Justin Blackman, Brandon Wheaton, Joseph Randall, and Josh Cooper, and all of those guys, there's enough playmakers out there where you don't have to hurry it up to get the score. You can use that entire play clock, and you can still be just as effective, I think.
And I loved it when we saw glimpses of that in the regular season, like in that where you just saw where it seemed like Dana just said, you know what, we're more talented than these guys. We're just going to run over them, like in the Tech game when we were having problems moving it, and he ran like it was something like 11 straight running plays and just marched right down for a touchdown. And it was like it snapped into place, like, hey, we're better than them. Why are we trying to sneak Cooper in on these underneath routes that, you know, I don't, why are we trying all this stuff? Let's just run the All-American straight at them and did it, and it worked.
Exactly.
You know, I'd love to see some of that in this game, obviously, and keep that, because Arizona's offense is good. Keep them off the field as much as possible. But.
Exactly. I would much rather win the game 35-14 than 44-41.
Right.
And
especially because if it comes down to 41-41 near the end, I don't trust our defense a whole lot at that point. That's been on the field for 80-something plays or whatever it'll be. So, but anyway, let's keep this one a little short. First one back, we gotta kind of. It's like when you're getting back to the gym or whatever. Gotta limp into this thing. Is everyone all right? Did everyone hang with us? All right. Good.
Yeah.
But quick round of predictions, Royal.
Oh, let's see. Yeah, let's go 35-28, just to keep it kind of close.
Cincy?
OSU.
I'm assuming OSU.
I'll go 38-35.
I'm going to say we'll cross 40. I'm going to go with a 41, about a 34. Somewhere in that area.
That's a good call.
I can't decide if I think Dana's going to just blow it out for his last game or if he's going to rein it in a little.
I think a lot of this, and this is going to sound weird, but a lot of this is going to come down to special teams and how well we're able to perform without our veteran deep snapper and without Quinn Sharp being there. Both of them suspended because of being academically ineligible. But you know, that deep snapper thing, that's one of those things where, you know, you never notice it until you don't have the right guy, and all of a sudden the ball's floating 15 feet over the punter's head.
It's a very specialized position.
Yeah, and so, I mean, awesome. You have a new guy going in there, and then you have Dan Bailey handling everything. So, I mean, if we're punting a lot, and then we get him out there to try to kick a field goal, and his leg's tired, I mean, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Hopefully we won't need to punt very often, but, you know, it's just one of those things. Those are two really, really big positions that people don't really notice until, you know, you don't have the right guys out there, and all of a sudden, oh, shit, we're fucked.
You know, deep snappers are really highly paid in the NFL.
Yes, they are.
Honestly,
is Mike Stoops crazy enough to take Bailey out early on, like, a roughing the kicker to just completely wreck our kicking game?
Maybe.
It would work. I hope he's not listening to this and takes a 15-yard penalty just to kill our kicker. But, you know,
15 yards in the first quarter to take the kicker out of the game.
And then I don't know who picks after that. It'd be one of those multi. It'd be Cooper or something, like a multi-purpose guy.
Oh my god!
It'd be someone like that. Those guys can always kick.
He's short and white. He must be able to kick.
Right, like Welker. He kicked an extra point this year, didn't he?
I know Doug Flutie used to kick.
And Dominican Sue kicked an extra point this year too, though. So I guess that doesn't mean much. All right, when we ventured off onto this nonsense. He did. He kicked an extra point this year.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap it up. We're all picking Pokes by about a touchdown, somewhere in the mid to high 30s to possibly the 40s. We'll be watching tomorrow. Obviously, we'll have some previews, predictions, all that. I guess that'll be today by the time this thing goes up. But thanks for listening. Cowboys Ride for Free. Later. Yes.